Chapter 28. Now, while the Bibles are being passed out and you're finding your page there, let me just remind you that Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, don't come late. 6 o'clock, we gather for our Through the Bible study. Sunday nights is when we give our time over to studying through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And so if you'd like a little deeper meal, want to go a little further than this morning will allow us to, come on out tonight and study through the Bible with us. That's tonight here at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. But this morning we're going to look at a part of Ezekiel chapter 28 as we travel through the Bible together. Ezekiel 28, we're going to start in verse 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. As we're about to see this morning, these verses that are before us open the door to a whole lot more than they may appear to at first glance. Do you realize that there are forces at work all around us that the natural mind, the natural man that does not understand, cannot take in, not aware of? Are you aware that there is a lover of your soul, but there's also an enemy of your soul? This world is not a neutral area, but there's a battle. And this morning we're going to take a look a little bit at that battle. We're going to take a look at and discuss this king that's going to be talked about here in these verses. And we're going to learn about him, that which I've called our time together this morning, the defeated king. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for times of refreshment. We can just gather together like this and just sit before you and praise you and just let you direct our hearts and thoughts onto you and to receive from you. Thank you for that. And thank you for your word. As we gather, thank you that there's things you want to speak to us about and areas you want to touch us and encourage us or convict us or whatever it is. But Lord, when it's from you, it's what we want. It's the best. So Lord, take now this time, take your word, take us, Lord, bring it all together and have your way. And then Lord, help us. Help us not just to hear you. Help us not just to leave here saying, well, nice thoughts, but help us be doers, Lord. Help us walk in that which you've accomplished for us. So lead us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have to turn there, but I'd like to begin our time by just making reference to an occasion in which Daniel, the prophet Daniel, over in Daniel chapter 10, it tells us he was praying and seeking the Lord. Well, as he was doing that, we read an interesting thing happen. A messenger from God comes to Daniel. And in Daniel 10, starting verse 12, we read this. Then he said to me, this messenger from the Lord that showed up, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Interesting text. Basically, it means this. Daniel's praying and seeking the Lord. Well, the minute he began to do that, this messenger from God is dispatched. He said, the day you began to pray, God sent me to give you your answer. But I've been detained 21 days because I was withstood by, and he calls him the kingdom, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, what I want us to see here is, this messenger from God is not speaking about a man, a human prince of Persia. He's not just referring to a man who was ruling over that area at that time. But what this opens our eyes to or helps us understand or gets us discussing about here is the fact that in this case it's referring to a spiritual entity, a representative of Satan who was in charge of this area. So it's the enemy or one of his cohorts, and he is ruling over this area of Persia. So when this messenger is on his way, a battle began. And he says, 21 days. I was dispatched 21 days ago. He said, but finally I had to call for Michael, the archangel. Michael came and And here I am to give you your answer to what you've been praying about. But what it's talking about is not just a man, but the power, the ruler behind this prince of Persia. See, that's what it's talking about in our text this morning. Look with me now at Ezekiel 28, verse 12. We just read it a minute ago. So the man take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. The king of Tyre here in our text really refers to the power behind the human man that was ruling in the area of Tyre. Let me explain quickly. Tyre was a nation that existed in the time, this time of Judah and Israel and all. They were a neighbor, and they had disobeyed God. They had been into evil. They had persecuted and treated Israel roughly. And so in chapter 28, God is using Ezekiel to pronounce a judgment upon the nation of Tyre. And the chapter opens in which the Lord says, speak now to the prince of Tyre. And there it's talking about the literal man, the physical person that was ruling over Tyre. And he's got a judgment he's going to put upon him. But then in verse 11, the Lord goes deeper now. And he says, Ezekiel, don't just talk about that man, but now I'm going to pronounce something against the real power behind that man. The evil power behind that man. This king of Tyre. Not just the prince of Tyre, but now this king of Tyre. And in this case, it's none other than Satan himself. As we're going to see in a minute, there's no other creature, no other being that can meet this definition we're about to, this explanation, this description we're about to read. So, it's speaking about this fallen angel, this power, the real power behind the earthly king. Keep that in mind. Let's read about him now. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus says the Lord. Now we're going to read about it. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, and diamond. Beryl, onyx, and jasper. Sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. As we travel this life, what we're speaking about this morning is the fact that it's crucial that we remember that there is an unseen yet very real spiritual world around us. And that spiritual world, really, when it comes right down to it, is divided into two camps. There is the Lord, of course, and all of his angels, those who serve him. And there is Satan and his cohort, the demons, the fallen angels that went with him. There is Satan and all his band serving evil. There are the two camps. And that camp of fallen angels is led by a particular fallen angel whose name is Lucifer. Better known as Satan, also called in place of the deceiver or the destroyer. So there's this battle in the spiritual realm. And that side that fell, that fallen angel is led by Satan. Well, having established that, what's he up to nowadays? What is Satan up to? Well, Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy of our souls. He does not love you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Be sober, Peter says. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Be aware of the fact that it's not neutral out there. But there is the enemy and his forces, and he's going around seeing who might be vulnerable, who might be weak. Remember, the lions look for the weak of the animals and all. Well, he's looking for those who he can get some attack in on. So be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, because he's out to devour. Jesus tells us about the enemy in John 10:10, the beginning of that verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. No matter how Satan tries to disguise himself, no matter what techniques he uses, no matter how juicy the worm is that he dangles in front of you, you can know that there's always a hook inside. He wants to destroy you. Now, of course, he puts it forward like, no, no, I have your best interest in mind. God is mean. He's keeping you from good things. Follow me and I'll bless your life and I'll give you all this stuff and on it goes. But you better know that his real goal is to level you, to destroy you. He comes, his whole thing is to steal, to kill, and destroy. The Bible clearly warns us about the deceiving, lying tactics of the enemy of our soul. Jesus says in John 8:44, he was addressing he was interacting with some people there. So he says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And speaking about the devil, Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. And when he speaks, he says it comes right from inside of Satan because he's the father of lies. He doesn't know anything about truth. He doesn't speak truth. He speaks lies. So we need to understand the deceptive tactics of the enemy of our soul. I've mentioned this story before, and so if you've attended here a while, you may have heard it. Bear with me. Perhaps you need to be reminded about this. If you haven't been here, then I expect right now you're going to hear this, and you're going to think, man, the pastor really lost it this time. But I just want you to consider what I'm about to share. I can share it because it actually happened. But it's just an example of how cunning the enemy is. Many years ago, I was in the Air Force. And while in the Air Force, I was stationed at a remote radar site way up in Alaska. No town around, just a radar site out in the middle of nowhere. And I was there with a bunch of other guys in the Air Force and all. And the lower-ranking enlisted guys, we didn't get our own room. We shared room with, we had two-man rooms up in the barracks. Well, for a number of months, I shared the room with a young man whose father was the pastor of a satanic church in Texas. Now, it's interesting, it was a sidelight, it was during this time that I came to know Jesus. Another brother shared the Lord with me, and I opened my heart and received Jesus, so I'm sure there were all kinds of interesting battles going on. But for this morning, what I'm mentioning is this. This young man's father is this pastor of a satanic church, and he himself, this young man, this roommate I had for a number of months there, he was a missionary for Satan. He's actually said that. He said, I am a missionary for Satan. Well, I don't know anything about all that spiritual realm and all that stuff. I'm just taking this in, you know. So one day I got to talking to him and I said, well, tell me something. What does a missionary for Satan do? I mean, I said, I kind of know. I mean, I know what a Christian missionary does. They go out and teach the Bible. They try to explain and hopefully lead people to the Lord through the gospel and all. Or they help people grow in the Lord. There are Christian medical missionaries who try to meet physical needs and all. So I know about that. And I said, but what do you do? What do you do? What are you about? What's your calling? This is what he said. He said his whole thing. This is what he said. But think about it. What do you think about it? Hopefully it'll kind of alert you and make you think. He said his whole thing is this. His calling, his assignment is to keep people distracted. You know, you're expecting to say something like, well, I'm going to go out and kill a lot of people and all this stuff. But he said, my calling is to distract people. And I started watching, and it was true. He was always instigating activity. Hey, let's go do this, let's go do that, let's go shoot some pool, or go to the movie, or let's do this or the other. Always keeping people distracted. You think, well, what's the big deal? But you know why? You know why he said that? He just said this. He said because he the enemy and this roommate of mine working in response to the enemy. He says, we know this. We know that if we can keep you from encountering God, if we can keep people from receiving Jesus as Savior, if we can keep people distracted, we got them. See, they're already lost. We just got to keep them from being found. We got to keep them from finding the answer. And so how does he do it? He keeps them busy. Keep them distracted. Keep them having fun and doing things and going here and doing that. Woo-hoo! With the idea of they won't discover they have to receive Jesus. They won't encounter God. What an interesting thing, huh? Remember that. It's not neutral out there. But there are forces at work and people who work for those forces that are trying to level you and rip you off. And he has many, and that's just one of many of his devices. But we're told that we shouldn't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We can have the victory if we'll just receive Jesus. See, it's only to followers of Jesus that John says this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. Now, don't even bother reading the rest of that sentence if you don't qualify for the first. You can't claim the rest of it if the first part isn't true. If you haven't received Christ as Savior, it doesn't apply. You have to receive what Jesus did for you on the cross. But if you have, then you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. When the Lord comes inside, and if you open your heart and say, Lord, come on in, guess what? He takes you at your word, and he comes on in. Every Christian is indwelt with God. And when light moves in, dark has to move out. Okay? And so then you are now a child of the light. You belong to the Lord. And because of that, he said, know this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We just read in this whole description, it talked about Satan. It says, in the day you were created. Satan is a created being. He is nowhere equal to God. It's not like, gee, I wonder who's going to win. God is omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, knows everything. He is God, eternal. Satan is none of that. He is a created being. There's no comparison here in power and knowledge and all. But the deliverance, the answer comes from belonging to Jesus. But having said that, believer, there is still a great danger for us. Yes, he's in us, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. But there's still a danger. Believer, the enemy cannot steal your salvation. Praise God. He can't steal your salvation. But having said that, he sure will continue to try to keep you from experiencing all God has for you. He'll try to steal the peace and the joy from you by getting your eyes off the Lord, by getting into things that would cause you to keep yourself outside of the love of God, by getting into things that you know are going to cause a big problem in your life, by getting us to worry and be anxious and forget the resources we have in God. No, he can't take my salvation, but he can rip me off if I let him. And that's his desire. Keep us from experiencing all God has for us. So, believer, listen to a couple of verses now. Listen to what Peter has to say. Remember, we read the first part of this verse a moment ago. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then what do I do, Peter? How can I make it? What do I do about this lion? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What's Peter's answer here? You better run, you better hide, you better cower, you better give up, man, you've had it. No. What does Peter say? Resist him. Well, how am I supposed to do that? Be steadfast in the faith. Faith, that means believe what God says. Believe all that God is. Believe all God is doing, has done, is going to do for you and in you and through you. Believe is the answer. Have faith. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But notice the first part. You can't experience the second part without the first. Submit to God. What's he saying there? To submit is to You mean surrender. Yield to. Be all about the Lord. Just be all about the Lord. As we surrender to the Lord, abide in the Lord, walk in the Lord, that will in turn give you all you need that you might resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That no matter, like they say, it gives us the strength. It helps us understand that when Satan comes knocking, you've probably heard this, but good reminder. See, the key here is when Satan comes knocking at your door, what do? Say, Jesus, would you get that? That's the idea. Jesus, would you answer that door for me? So no matter whether the enemy comes to the door or the window or whatever, because you're in the Lord, he can find no place to get that, there's no opportunity there to trip you up. You see, the best defense against the enemy is just have a good offense in the Lord. That's the idea. Just be so much about Jesus. You're tracking with him, seeking him, walking with him, abiding in him. You're just so much about the Lord, the enemy will have no place, no opportunity to trip you up. Paul, now I'm going to read a fairly long portion of Scripture, but it's important. Paul in Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against," what? "The wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against," and here it is, "principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." And it continues, "against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So, he's in me. The Lord's in me. And because of that, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. But he knows I face stuff all day long, just like you. And so he doesn't leave me defenseless, but he says, "Hey, I'm going to give you some armor that you'll be able to be victorious in this walk." And so Paul in this section writes about the armor of God and the necessity that we as believers put on this armor. In this section, Paul says the enemy is shooting fiery darts at us. Now, it's not literal fiery darts. Oh, look, there goes one. It's not like that. He's likening it to warfare in those days where they would shoot the arrows, the flaming arrows, and they'd throw the swords. He says your enemy's throwing those darts, those arrows at you. He's trying to wound you. He's trying to trip you up. And so Paul says, so put on armor. And he takes the example of a Roman soldier's armor in those days. And he says, now there's spiritual armor just like that. He says, now get that armor on so that the attacks of the enemy won't be successful. And he starts talking about the armor of God and the necessity to have it on. Now, please hear this in love, but I'm concerned. You know, too many Christians couldn't even name the armor of God, much less put it on. And therefore, Christians are getting up and they're going out every day spiritually naked. And they're wondering why they're taking arrows all day long. They're wondering how these darts are finding their target. But they have no idea, this understanding of what the armor is and how to put it on. Now, I encourage you, read Ephesians 6 as it talks about the necessity for that armor and what it is and how you do it. As it talks about, get on truth, the belt of truth that says, know the word of God so you can detect a lie and not fall to it. He talks about things like having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, peace that God gives. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he talks about that shield of what? Faith. Remember? He said, resist. How? By faith, by believing. As you put up, say, no, God said, and that's where I'm resting, and I'm going to have faith in God and who he is. See, you got to have that on. Or those darts are going to find their target, and you're going to wonder, what happened? How did I get here? Because you didn't have the armor on, believer. Get them on. And Paul talks about that. He doesn't say, if the enemy throws a dart at you. It's when he does, because he's going to be throwing darts at you. He's always checking to see if he can get an attack in. Have that armor on that you might stand victorious. That's why the Lord gives it. Remember, on our own, we are no match for the enemy of our soul. In and of yourself, do not go out and say, okay, Satan, come on. You don't want to do that. You don't want to take him on your own strength, your own wisdom or something. In and of yourself, you're no match for the enemy. But in Jesus, Satan is no match for us. Jude 1:9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, speaking about contending with the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Notice that even Michael the archangel didn't say, okay, come on. He says, no, Lord, get him. Lord, you get him. The Lord rebuke you. See, that's your place of strength and protection. That's what you got to do. Again, Lord, you get the door. You answer the door. You take care of this. That's our answer. And remember in all of this that the enemy of our soul, Satan, is a defeated foe already. Jesus, as he was speaking about judging of the nations and separating the sheep and the goats and all, Jesus declared something in there. He goes, then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Now, this is what I want us to notice, this last part. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a hell. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, the enemy's followers, those cohort that go along with the enemy, those fallen angels that have aligned themselves with Satan. That's what hell was prepared for. Hell wasn't prepared for people. God desires that none would perish, but all come to everlasting life, eternal life through Jesus. But if you refuse that, then yes, there's only two alternatives, either the Lord or not with the Lord. But the point is, there's a hell, and it's been prepared for the devil and his angels. That is the end of, that's the destiny of Satan. We read in Revelation, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will have been tied up. He's loosed for one climactic battle. And then in Revelation 20:10, we read, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the destiny of Satan. He is a defeated foe already. He's a defeated king. This king of Tyre, he is defeated already. Don't be duped. Don't be tricked. But be wise. Have on that armor. Walk in the Lord. Remember who you belong to and walk in the victory. Now at this point, I want you to turn to the left in your Bible. If you're in Ezekiel, go left to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah is going to add some really important thing here. Turn left to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, we'll start at verse 12. Now watch what Isaiah adds to our understanding of this defeated foe. We're in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan had eye trouble. He wanted to be bigger than God. He wanted to reign and rule. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now notice these next two verses. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Interesting, isn't it? Look at that verse 16. It says basically the day is coming when people will look at Satan, this Lucifer, this one who was so, he was an anointed cherub once, had such a privileged place, but there was iniquity found in him. What was it? Eye trouble, big time. He wanted to be bigger than God. I'll exalt myself and all. And so he was cast out of heaven. And yet it says the day is coming when people will look at him and say, this is the one who caused all this trouble? You got to be kidding me. This is the one that's wreaked such havoc that people were duped by all this time? Let's make it more personal. Will you be one of those saying, is this who I allowed to cause me so much trouble? Think about the context of our passage in Ezekiel this morning. As I mentioned, in that portion, the Lord is declaring his judgments upon the nation of Tyre. And because of that, Tyre will fall. The whole nation does wind up going down. He speaks to the prince of Tyre, the literal human ruler over the area, and says, you're going to fall. And of course, it does happen. And then the Lord turns and says, and now speak to the real power behind that prince. Speak to the king of Tyre, Satan, Lucifer. You speak to him. Write a lamentation for him and tell him this. He too is a defeated foe. Tyre fell. The prince of Tyre will fall. Satan will fall. He is a defeated king, because none are a match for the true King of Kings. That's who you need to belong to. And if you belong to him, remember these truths. Jesus is the King of Kings, and no one else compares. No one's a match for him. Earlier I read the first part of this verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let's finish it, though. That's describing the enemy, but watch the rest of it. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. What a contrast. Which camp are you in? And if you're in the Lord's camp, do you live like it? Oh, the glory of following and serving Jesus. Oh, all that we have in him. A good summary of the enemy's goal would be this. The enemy's goal, Satan, is trying to keep us from believing Jesus. And that's true for everybody. He's trying to keep us from believing Jesus. For the non-Christian, Satan is trying to keep you from believing Jesus for salvation. For the follower of Jesus, Satan is trying to keep us from believing Jesus for all he is and all he has for us. What should be our response? Where is our place of deliverance and victory? For the unbeliever, believe and receive eternal life. For the believer, believe and receive abundant life. For the unbeliever, it's still about belief. It's about eternal life, forgiveness of sins. For the believer, it's about abundant life. Believe, receive, walk in all Jesus has for you today. Let's stand. Worship team is going to come up and close us in a song. If you need prayer this morning, we would count it a privilege to pray for you. There'll be prayer partners available over here by the prayer room. Is it your day to receive eternal life? I didn't say join church or give a bunch of money. I said open your heart to what he has for you. You have to. It's the only way you'll see heaven. Come up and let our prayer partner know you want to receive Christ as Savior. Do you know him, but you recognize you need prayer in some area? Come get prayer for that. And believers, don't you dare. What's the old thing? Don't leave home without it, about American Express or something. Don't you dare leave home without your armor on. Don't you dare walk through that day just vulnerable like that, but instead walk in the victory that he's purchased for us. May he find us every day just being so much about the Lord that the enemy has no place in our lives. Remember what he's done. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Now live like it. Live like it. And don't you get tricked by anybody or anything. Praise God. Praise God for the victory we have. Let's pray. Father, that is our prayer and our praise, Lord. Thank you. Praise you. You have reached down. You made known not just our need, but your answer. Thank you, Lord. How we pray, if there's anybody here that hasn't opened their heart to you, they'd do it now. They wouldn't delay. They would not be tricked any longer. They would not be deceived, that your light might break through. Lord, for those of us who by your mercy you have touched us, Lord, thank you. We have that assurance that you're far greater than the enemy, not even close. And that we can walk knowing that daily. Lord, help us be those who indeed do have our armor on, tracking with you, just abiding with you, and experiencing that abundant life, that spiritually blessed life that comes from just being in you. So Lord, we say thank you now. Help us now go out and walk in and be doers of what you've spoken to us about. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.